overly fanboy about this. I was going to interview just one guest today, but I was texted by my producer over the weekend to say one guest had morphed into two, which makes me double excited. But this is the BBC, it's about balance. If you're going to have evil on, you have to have good on as well.
Exactly.
As it works. Let's make sure we've got the right guest first. Let's check we've got the right Michael Sheen. Are you the Michael Sheen who was offered a place on the Arsenal youth team?
Ish, yes.
You weren't?
Well, I was. They were interested in me playing for the youth team.
And yes. You said no.
I didn't say no. My mum and dad said no.
Oh, okay.
Because it would have meant living in London when I was 12.
Ah, okay.
I'd have become a chimney sweep.
Are you the Michael Sheen who likes getting in touch with famous people he likes and telling them that he likes them?
That makes me sound like a bit of a weirdo. I mean, yes, I'm on
Michael
social
Sheen,
media.
Stalker.
Yes, I go on social media and say, you know, that I've enjoyed certain things, like everyone else does. That makes it sound like I'm a right weirdo.
And just to check, you're definitely not part of the Estevez family.
I am not part of the Estevez family, no.
We've done the good, let's do the evil now, and that is David Tennant. Have
Hello.
We got the right David Tennant, who was voted the coolest man on our screens in 2007?
I have no idea. I mean, I hope so.
Is it the David Tennant who is the 16th sexiest man in the world?
Again, I'm not sure where you're finding your statistics, but I'm delighted to be on that list anywhere.
I'm not sure it's current. It was Esquire. I just don't know what year they did it.
Oh.
And also
I'll
knows
take anything you've got, to be honest.
Knows his way around a sonic screwdriver.
Well, I did once, yes.
I have got Michael Sheen
Can't
and David Tennant with
me. Can't work the new one, though. Somebody gave me one of the new ones, one of Jodie's ones lately. I don't know how they work.
No. It's changed. Well, listen, thank you so much for both being here. The reason you're here is the fact that Good Omens, the book by Terry Pratchett and also by Neil Gaiman, has now been turned into a TV show. It is out on Friday on Amazon. I am so excited about this.
Yeah, you've read the book, I believe.
I've read the book many times.
Yes.
Although I have to put it out there, it's my most reread book in life. And then when I found out I was interviewing you, I went, yes, I love the book. And then I realised I can't remember the plot. At all, which is a sad state of affairs.
Well,
on me.
Luckily, you can watch it on TV on Friday
and enjoy it all over again.
Did you both know of it before getting offered these parts?
I did. When it came out, I was at drama school in London, and I remember it coming out, and I read it, and I loved it. And then many years later, I got to meet Neil and Gaiman, and we became friends. And so I've sort of been aware of the genesis of this televisual project.
Has it been a long while coming then?
Well, the book came out 30 years ago.
1990?
Yeah, and there's been the beginnings of trying to adapt it. Terry Gilliam was going to make it into a film at one point and various things. So for a book that is so well-loved, for it not to have had an adaptation onto the screen in 30 years is very, very rare. I'm not sure there is a book that's similar to that, so it's taken a long time.
My favourite review of the book was one they put on the cover, or at least the version I had, which is not as sinister as the author's photos, which I always loved. Now, for people who haven't read it or maybe, like me, have forgotten about it, what is the premise and the reason I keep calling you both good and evil? Why am I doing that?
Well, I play the angel Aziraphel.
And I play the demon Crowley.
And they have been on Earth representing their various head offices since the Garden of Eden. I have been trying to make sure that mankind follows a path of goodness and redemption.
And I've been trying to tempt them off that path and to make them do lots of terrible things to each other.
And over the millennia, the demon and the angel have come to an understanding that they find themselves having to go to the same places to do their respective jobs. And they realise, well, why do we both have to go? Why do, you know,
we're
if you're going there,
we're cancelling each other out.
Yeah, so if you're going up to Edinburgh to tempt someone, maybe you could do a bit of my job as well whilst you're there, and then I don't have to go.
And they decide that they quite like this mortal world with its glasses of wine and its nice dinners. Mm. And then, of course, I am tasked with delivering the Antichrist, which is going to trigger the apocalypse, which means we'd have to go back to our home, to our respective head offices, and we would lose all the joys of the mortal world.
Mm. So we decide to team up and try and avert the apocalypse so that we can stay on Earth.
We've got more chatting today. I've got more questions about this to ask you in a second. First, though, you have both done shows on Radio 2, haven't you?
Yes.
Yes.
You have. David, because you were in for Sarah Cox when she did the 10 till 12 slot. You were before me. I don't want to say you're my warm-up artist.
No, but did they call it the throw-over? What did they call it?
The handover.
There you go.
The handover.
Yeah.
I was very impressed you pronounced my name right, which made me happy at the time.
Oh, obviously.
Did you enjoy your presenting on Radio 2? Because it was just the one show.
I loved it. I'd done it before as well. Catherine Tate and I had done what used to be the Jonathan Ross Show on Saturday morning a few times, and we'd had such fun. The bit I find scary, and you can tell me how you cope with this, it's the bit as the song's coming to an end and it's just you, and you just have to talk to, and there are people in the nation waiting to hear, I mean, anything come out of your mouth. That gave me the fear a little bit.
You have to not think about it.
Yeah.
And Michael, you've been on Radio 2 as well.
So I've done three shows on Radio 2. And before I did my first one, I remember coming in to Steve Wright's show and him giving me some advice.
What was that? He didn't give me any advice.
He said, don't imagine that you're talking to lots of people. When you talk to them, just imagine that it's one person who's listening to you. I totally eschewed his advice and kept saying, ladies and gentlemen, I found myself saying.
Well, the reason I've just asked you these questions is we're going to play a song now. So I would like you two to choose. What song are we going to play? I mean, feel free to fight it out, wrestle it, however you want to choose the song.
Do you have a favourite song of all time?
Of all time?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that changes with the wind, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is there a song from the show you could choose, maybe, to narrow it down?
One of the rules of Crowley's Bentley that he drives around London is that whatever you put on the radio, it turns into Queen.
Yeah.
So probably to commemorate Good Omens, we should have something.
Yeah, and maybe because they are sort of best friends, why don't we say, you're my best friend?
Oh, perfect.
What a choice. Beautiful. So we'll have more with Michael and David after this from Queen. This is Best Friend.